Isaiah chapter 55. This is a real good chapter. It's got some verses in it that, boy, you need to set to memory. They're important verses. A lot of confusion nowadays about a lot of this. Men are good at confusing things with their doctrines. Yeah. Let's read verse 6 through 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, the Lord didn't leave those words out. I mean, he put those in there while he may be found. It's in there for a reason. See, it doesn't say, seek ye the Lord, call upon him. No. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, Seth's been talking about this morning, the way of the wicked in Psalm chapter 1. The way of the wicked. Turn away from it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's a very sweet verse in the Bible. It's also full of warnings that are profound, I guess. Things that ought to make you stop and think. You know, if I was writing that, I'd put Selah right after that. Better stop and think about this one. Now, I'm just going to take a little bit here, and we're going to talk about the two things that are mentioned here in the verse, the two main subjects. But seek the Lord. Now, seek the Lord. Now, that's your duty as a human being, and it's my duty too. Seek the Lord. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is your first duty in life here? I mean, what does the Bible repeatedly stress over and over? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Yes, this is the whole duty of man. Over and over, the Bible stresses this, that we're to seek after God. And then you got people that will come along and say, well, you can't seek God. The Bible says no man seeketh after God. Well, you're taking that out of context and you're ignoring the rest of the Bible when you interpret it that way, as if we're just all zombies and that we are arbitrarily awakened by God. It's not like that. Seek the Lord. Now, why does the Bible say for us to seek the Lord and to call upon him and to come unto him and to return unto him? Why does it say all that kind of talk? Yeah. If we ain't supposed to do that, and if we can't do that, and if nobody's ever done that, why does the Bible keep saying that we're to do this? It is your duty to seek after God, because the one who gave you life commands it. Now, let me tell you something. You better seek after God, because it's a long ways. It ain't this little deal where you want to be sure you go to heaven tonight. I mean, you want to know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, yes. You don't want to go to hell. No, no. Well, raise your hand. Bow your head and repeat after me. That's not how this thing works. You don't find God that way. No, sir. No, sir. It's a long ways from the hog pen back to the Father's house. And you've been in sin a long time. So it's going to take a while for you to figure out that you can't reconcile yourself to God by seeking after him. Seek after God. That's the beginning. You start looking in that direction. And then here's how it works. You draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Yes. It's God that seeks after the sinner. Yes, he sent the Son of God to seek and to save that which was lost. But we've got to seek too. We got to quit running from him and stop and turn around. And when we do, God will be like the prodigal's father. He'll be running to meet us. Yeah. It'll take you a while to figure out that you're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to turn over a new leaf. You're not going to stop doing certain things and start doing other things. And you're not just going to get back in church. And you're not going to just live the Christian life. And you're not just going to start reading your Bible. That won't fix it all between you and God. It's going to take you a while to figure that out. I'll tell you what, a little secret here. Most people never figure that out. Multitudes of people are going to be in hell forever who sit in church pews because they never did figure that out. They sought after God long enough to get in the church and around His people, and then they quit. They thought they'd found what it was about. But they never had any peace, and they never had any victory over their sin. And the preacher tells them, "You're fine, you're fine. You prayed that prayer. You've been baptized. Don't worry about it. Once saved, always saved. Don't worry about it. We're all sinners anyway. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. There ain't nobody perfect." And so they settle right down into their miserable, wretched state of a Roman 7 Christian. They don't seek God because there's no point in it. Seek ye the Lord. If we will incur the favor of God and His friendship, we got to seek it. He'll not force Himself upon us. And we have to show ourselves friendly to Him. That's right. Remember, we read the other night about Jesus and the Emmaus disciples in Luke chapter 24. And it says they got to where they were going, and they were going to go in, and He made as if He was going to go on. And they constrained Him to come in, and He finally agreed to go in. See, if they'd have been apathetic and indifferent and just said, "We'll just wait and see what the Lord does for us," they'd have missed Him. But they pressed upon Him to come. "Oh no, come and stay, come and stay." And He did. God's not going to set up His abode in your heart if you never invite Him, and you never seek after Him, and you never desire His presence. How you think He's going to... Are you that way? Do you push yourself on other people? I guess some people do, but I sure have never. I mean, you don't want to be my friend? I ain't going to bother you. You make it plain to me that you don't like me and you don't want to be around me, you ain't going to find me knocking on your door all the time. It ain't going to be me calling you on the phone all the time. Ain't you kind of that way? People make it clear they don't want you. You kind of just stay away from them, don't you? Well, what do you think about God? You think He's going to force Himself on people who don't want Him? People who run from Him, avoid Him, speak evil of Him, run with His enemies, agree with His enemies? You think He's going to just force Himself upon you? No. No, you've got to seek the Lord. If you're going to have Him, you're going to start seeking Him first. Now, we're naturally ignorant of the ways of God, so He commands us to seek after Him. We don't know how to find Him. So that's why you better start seeking. It's going to take you a while to figure things out here. I mean, you got to seek for Him. He's not hiding, but you are lost. That's the problem. You are blind. And you don't even know which way to turn to find God. So you better start looking. You better get to it and start. Good way to start, coming to church where the Word of God is preached and be faithful about it. And God will speak to you. God will reveal Himself to you. You'll find God when you search for Him with all your heart. Otherwise, you're not going to find Him. And it ain't because He's hiding from you. It's because you don't know the way and can't see and don't care enough to keep seeking. Ask and seek and knock. It's a progressive. It grows more intense. As you seek the Lord, you try harder. You don't just seek a little bit and then give up. Say, "Well, I tried that and that didn't work, so give up on that." We're naturally ignorant of the ways of God. And so we got to seek. We don't know how to find Him. Because God and His ways are so misrepresented in this crooked and perverse world that we live in, we've got to seek diligently to find Him. There's so many cults. There's so much false religion. There's so many lies, and especially now with all this social media and everybody seeing and hearing and talking and spilling their guts every day to everybody, and everybody knows everything about everybody. Oh, overload about everything. And everybody's sorry opinions about God and religion and sin and right and wrong. And everybody's listening to all that. You're going to have a hard time finding God in truth. Finding God enough for you to know that you're in the presence of God. To know that you're in His way. It's going to take some diligent seeking. Jesus talked about striving to enter in. Don't just seek. Seek is a lot milder word than strive. That means you better put it to it. You better put some strength to it. Put some effort to run instead of walking. Get up and get at it. Look hard. Seek hard. Dedicate yourself to it. That's what it's going to take to find God in the day we're living in. That's what it's going to take. It's always been hard, but especially in these days. Hey, do you ever think about this? What if I were lost now? If I was still lost and I'd lived my life without God and didn't know a thing, where would I start? How would I find God? How many churches around here could I go to where they would tell me the truth and where they would talk about the things that I need to hear about? So that I can find God. Have you ever thought about how hopeless it would be? I do. That's why I believe in the church. And I believe that we ought to be faithful and oughtn't to quit. And we ought to stay with the stuff. And we ought to be faithful like we talked about this morning. And stand and not compromise. And keep preaching the same old gospel. And the same old standards of morality and what's right and wrong. And don't compromise and don't back up and don't give up. There's people out there that are looking and searching. And boy, we've found that out just putting it out there on the website and on the sermon audio. We've found it out, Betty. There's people out there that are scouring everywhere to find. It just breaks my heart. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Thousands of people. Really? We don't think anybody cares. We don't think anybody's seeking. Yes, they are. There's people out there that are seeking to hear something that's true and something that's right so they can know God better and so their faith can be increased and confirmed and strengthened. And it's hard to find because there's a famine in the land. We must come to God. He's not going to drag you into the kingdom of heaven. We got to come to Him. Isn't that the order? Isn't that what Jesus said? Ye that are laboring are heavy laden, come unto me, ye that are laboring are heavy laden. Find it all through the Bible. God said in the Old Testament, come unto me. All that are thirsty, let them come unto me and drink. Come. You've got to come. That means you've got to move from where you are to where He is. He is not coming to where you are to drag you into the kingdom. He's waiting on you to start home. And when He sees you start home, He'll come running to meet you. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. That's the way it works. But you got to start. You lay in the hog pen and you just keep eating with the hogs and you're going to die there. And you're going to die without God. You got to start toward God. You've got to look unto Jesus like everybody else always has had to look. Nobody's any different in the day we live in. You keep looking down. You keep looking at the world. You keep looking at yourself. And you're going to die lost. You better look unto Jesus. You better come unto Him. And you better come unto God. You got to start. You got to search for Him because you don't know where He's at. You don't know how to find Him. You don't know anything. And when you don't know anything, you got to start searching. Yes, sir. Well, You got to separate. I mean, you got to stop your apathy and your unconcern for your soul and act about trying and not, and I can't see, and set about trying to figure out what is right and wrong and right what is wrong. You know you're wrong. You know you're lost. You know you don't know God. You don't even know if there is a God. You don't know where He is if there is such a thing. Well, you better start in. You got to start that way. You got to separate from the world and its cares and its attractions and its amusements and focus your mind on God. You can't keep living on the merry-go-round of this world's entertainment and foolishness and noise and confusion and ever find God. You got to get off of it. I wonder if anybody here remembers when you got off of it. I do. I remember the day when I said, I'm getting off of this thing. This is crazy, insanity, and I don't want to die like this. And I'm going to find God. Well, here's the thing, and this is how it works. And I know, you know, a lot of people may get confused right here, but it ain't really you that finds God. When you start seeking after God, it's not really, really you that finds God. God comes to you. He's just waiting for you to look that way. With a heart that's yearning and looking for Him. God, where are you? In sincerity. Turning away from all of the everything else. Oh, God will reach down His hand. Like the song says, He reached way down for me. And He brought me up out of a terrible pit. Horrible pit. And set my feet on a rock. You got to separate from the world and its cares and all that. And there's got to be a great reward and value in finding the Lord, because that's why else would He urge us and command us to seek Him? God's good. He wants what's best for us. So if He tells us to seek Him, it's not for His sake, it's for ours. It'll be good for us. It'll be something wonderful when you find God. When you find yourself in the presence of God, you know God. Well, it's a great blessing. While He may be found, He said. Now seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Well, now how can you read that if you understand English? And if you want to read it in Spanish or Russian or any other language, it's going to say the same thing. If it's the Word of God. He said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. So there's a whole bunch of things in there that tell us that you can't just call on Him anytime that you want to. You don't set the time when He can be found. You don't determine when you're going to give it up and when you're going to get saved. You don't determine that. You don't determine when you come to the knowledge of God. Seek Him while He may be found. All right, this implies plainly that He will not always be near enough for you to find Him. That's right. There's churches all over the place that are sitting tonight cold and dead as ice. Where at one time God visited. At one time you could have called on the Lord from that place because He was near. And He could be found there. Can't be found there now. There's lots of churches where God once could be found. And He can't now. Can't find Him there now. No. They've got women in the pulpit now. They've got sodomites in the pulpit, in the pews. They've got their dancing and their rock music instead of the Spirit of God. Amen. God ain't going to be found in a place like that. having your sensual dances and your sensual music and your sensual entertainment, and everybody's full of whoredom, and you want to tell me that God is going to be found in that place, and that you're going to go away from there with your heart so full, full of the devil is what you'll go away with, not God. You better call on him. You better seek for him while he can be found, while he may be found. It implies there's a time when you must seek him or you miss the boat. You're lost. The boat sails without you. If you don't call on him, if you don't seek him while he may be found. I keep getting ahead of myself here. If you don't seek him while he may be found, you miss. Now, how can you understand that any other way? Why did he put that in there? Just to fill up words? No, sir. It is definite, profound truth. You seek him while he may be found. There's times in our life when God can be found if we'll seek him. And it's not because he moves, we move. We drift away. We drift too far from the shore. And we're lost because we can't find him. It implies that if you don't seek him while he's near, there'll be a time when you will seek him and not be able to find him. Now, there's sad when you're crying out and he won't answer. And God says plainly that that's the way it'll be. I cried unto you, and you would not hear. Therefore, when you cry unto me, I won't hear you. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Now that's God speaking. God told Jeremiah, you go tell these people that I said this. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. The same God that said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, says, he will not hear. I will not hear. When they cry in my ear, I'll not hear. They missed the time. There's a time. There's a place when God can be found. Oh, there's no arguing about that. If you've lived any time at all, you know that from your own life and experience. If you've watched other people, you've seen it in them. I've seen people be so close and turn away for the last time. Harden their heart. Just toughen up and hang on to the pew and weep tears and walk out. And that's it. Oh, somebody should have said right then, seek ye the Lord now while he may be found. He can be found right now. Now's the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You better yield to God. You better step up when he can be found. Micah chapter 3 verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves in all their doings. They wouldn't seek him when he was near. When he could be found, they wouldn't seek him. Say, why is God like that? It's not God. I keep telling you that. It's not God who changes. God don't harden his heart and say, well, I'm just holding a grudge. They wouldn't look at me then, so I won't look at them now. That's not what it's about. Right. What changes is their heart. When you are near, when God is near and he can be found and you refuse him, it does something to your heart, and it does something to your mind and to your soul. And you can't find God when you try again later. And that's the way it works. So I don't understand. Well, you better try to understand, because that's the truth. That's the way it is. And I don't like it that way, and I don't believe God's right in doing it. It doesn't matter what you think. God said over and over, that's the way it is. And it's not that God, His mercies are renewed every morning. He's ever merciful. His mercy is for everlasting. He's not willing that any should perish. But it's what happens to your mind. Your mind is blinded. And your heart is hardened when you turn away from God while He is wooing your soul. You sin against the Holy Ghost of God and doom your soul. You're on dangerous ground when you harden your heart against God. You can't just call on Him anytime. I've heard people say, well, all you got to do is repent. You don't have any idea what you're talking about to say such a foolish thing.
That's right.
You don't just repent at your will. Judas sought for repentance. Others in the Bible sought for repentance, but they couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. It wasn't because God had barred them from heaven. They barred themselves. They so polluted their heart and soul and mind. You ever deal with a dope head that's messed himself up with dope? What has it done to him? You can't reason with him. He does not care. You can plead with him. Don't you see you're destroying your life? What about your family? He don't care. That's what a hard heart is. Just does not care about anything or anybody. You are lost. You'll never find God. You'll never find your way out of anything. You're just going to wake up in hell one of these days. And that's what happens to you when you turn away from God, when He's speaking to you, when He's calling you, and you turn Him away. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. He may be found when the preaching of the Word of God is borne to our conscience with power. When can you find Him? When you listen to preaching that's anointed and has the unction of the Spirit of God. Preaching that has power. Preaching that speaks truth and the Holy Ghost bears it to your heart. That's when He can be found. That's God speaking to your heart. All the old timers called it Holy Ghost conviction. It's when God deals with you. And you're not just under some man's spell. You're not being entertained by an entertainer. It's when the Word of God just breaks you into pieces. You can find God. Now how many's going to find God now? Let me ask you. How many listen? We'll listen to preaching like I'm talking about. Where can you find preaching like that? Very rare. Very rare. You can go to seminars and entertainments and pep rallies, but you have a hard time finding a place where somebody's going to preach to you the Word of God. Where can He be found? That's one of the places where the preaching of the Word of God is going on. In truth, when death comes into our inner circle of family or friends and we're sobered to its reality and to the fact that this life will end for us also. When we stare death in the face, a loved one, or our own death, it's a time when God can be found. We need to take that real serious. Funerals and times of mourning when people lose loved ones, those are special times. I know they are. I've been around too many people. I've had to preach several funerals now. And I know, and I can tell you. It's just the Bible is so true when it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For there men see the end of all things and they lay it to heart. It makes you stop and think when you're looking at a loved one in a casket and you realize they're gone, and one day this is going to be me. I mean, this is life and this is how it is. And we live as if it's not until we're face to face with it and we're forced to look at it and your mind sobers up. And all that foolishness settles down for a little bit and there's an opportunity. for you to find God, for you to look up and say, Lord, what is all this about? And how in the world can we? It's an opportunity. That's when God can be found. That's why we ought to be very careful in how we preach and deal with people at that time. It's not a time to settle scores. It's not a time to prove anything. It's a time to give people an opportunity to find the Lord while he may be found, because that's one of the times he may be found. When your health is taken away and you're deprived of the ability to indulge yourself in the world's pleasure. When life, you know, Esther, we were talking today about how life just so deteriorates when you're old and you get to, we just a while ago, and how that it just gets to where, what's the point? You hear it often. I know you do, because I've heard it so much from older people. Well, I'm just no good for anything anymore. I'm no good to anybody. I can't do anything. I'm just a burden to everybody. I don't even want to live anymore. Lord, just take me home. Can't do anything. Can't enjoy anything. You know, the Bible talks about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember how the gold, the silver thread is loosed, and the grinders and then the lights go out, and a grasshopper is a burden. Every little thing in life just becomes so hard to bear. And it overwhelms you. Well, you begin to realize life ain't the end of all. I mean, it's not it's not all there is. There's got to be more than this. Losing your health is a time to sober up. There's some other things I can think of. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, another thing is getting thrown in prison. Yes. Yeah. You can say what you want. And you can say it's just a jailhouse confession and all of that. But I believe more people get saved in jail than everybody knows about. Because it is flat a sobering thing. I remember that boy one time crying and telling me, he said, you just have no idea what it feels like when they slam those doors and lock you in here. It's like a cage, which it is. That's what it is. It sobers you up and it humbles you. Well, he can be found. God can be found when you're in that state of mind. Your hard heart and your stubborn, obstinate mind are humbled and brought down, and for a moment. That passes too. They get used to it and they fall in line and get in the game. And so there's just little windows of opportunity in life where he may be found. You better count him precious. He's not always going to be near. And he's not always going to be, you're not always going to be able to find him. It's just certain opportunities. And you better not miss them. If God speaks to your heart, you better not harden your heart. Warning, warning, warning. The Bible warns us of that repeatedly. And in the New Testament also. Do not harden your heart. If you hear his voice. If you hear his voice, you can't hear God's voice all the time. You can't hear him in every circumstance. You can't go to every church and hear God's voice. It's only once in a while. And so you better, if you know God has spoken to you, he's pulling at your heart, you better yield. And I'm talking about not just for salvation, I'm talking about everything else. When God convicts you of some wrong idea you've got or some practice you're doing in your life that's wrong, you better be listening. And when he says wrong and the Holy Ghost checks you, you better just fall in line. You understand that? You better yield and say, yes, Lord, whatever you say. Because that's the same way. You harden your heart against him, he's not going to keep You know, you hear these people say, well, God ain't never convicted me of that. That don't mean that it's not wrong. Where do you get it? Where do these people get it? That as long as they don't feel bad about it, that it's not wrong for them. Yeah. God said it. So it's wrong. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You've just hardened your heart until you don't feel it anymore. God's quit telling you that it's wrong because you won't listen to Him. Go ahead. You want your flesh? Here it is. Eat it until it runs out your nostrils. It's the way God deals with stubborn men and women. You may think that you're standing near and you can call any time that you get ready. I go to church every Sunday and I'm there and I give God plenty of chance to talk to me. Most people think that they aren't so far from God. They may think, well, I still read my Bible once in a while. I still listen to gospel music, you know. I still say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep every night before I go to sleep. I say, thank you, Lord, for the food. Every time I'm staying near to God. A lot of people think that. They don't realize they're so far from God. They think He's just a prayer away. And so they don't fear. They have no fear. Baptists have put it into people to have such security that they have no fear of God anymore. They have no reverence, no fear. God's just there at my beckoning. All I've got to do is cry and He'll hear me. That's the way it works. That's what everybody's been taught. Everybody's been taught wrong. It doesn't work that way. I just read you several verses where God said they're going to cry in my ear and I won't listen. Because it's not coming from a right heart. They think that He'll come in their own good time and only when they beckon. Remember the little story? The guy fell off the cliff. He said, oh God, help me. About that time his britches hung on a limb that was sticking out. He said, never mind, God, I got this. That's how people are. You think God's just waiting to hear the cry of people like that? No, I need Thee every hour. Every hour. Yes. You put space between you and God, and gradually you're in this state until it becomes a great gulf between you. You think He's right there, and you've drifted way, way off. It's the way it works at the sea. You've read lots of stories about it. People drift away. Before they know it, they're out of reach. They're out of sight. And then it's panic. Just like the child that gets lost in the woods. It happens gradually when you get lost. You don't get lost suddenly. You just wander away. You wander away. And then all of a sudden, you realize, I don't know how to get back. Help! Help! But nobody can hear you. There will come a day when it'll be dark in your world, and you'll look with longing eyes back on the time when He was near and you refused to call upon Him. That's so sad to me. Luke chapter 16. Lazarus, the rich man. Remember that story? In hell, the rich man died also and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And he begged for Abraham to send Lazarus to tell his brothers, lest they come to this awful place. Crying out, begging out, but did it do him any good? No, the answer was no. You had your chance. Remember, son, in your life how that you Lazarus had his evil things and you had your good. And now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And tell me there's no hell. This is the words of Jesus, and it ain't no parable. There was a certain rich man, he said. That ain't no made up story. And he cried out, but it's too late, you see. Now he cares, but it's too late. He's in hell. I mean, there's a great gulf fixed now, Abraham said, between us. You can't come to me and I can't come to you. That's the way it works with God. You better search for him while he may be found. And you better call upon him while he's near. How guilty will the sinner who fails to call upon God be when the judgment time comes? How foolish it is to let the moment of opportunity pass, knowing that there might not be another. I don't know if there's anybody here or not that doesn't know what I'm talking about. I don't know if there's somebody here maybe that doesn't really know what it's like for God to speak to your heart and to draw you to himself, to convict your soul. I don't know if there is. I wonder if there's anybody here that don't know what that's like. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about me giving an invitation and a plea and all of that, and you responding to the plea. We're not talking about you responding to the invitation. I'm talking about you responding to God's call. Has God ever spoken to you? Have you ever left church troubled and disturbed because God really rung your bell and you didn't do anything about it? Well, if you're still here and if you found God eventually, you're one blessed person. You better count your blessings, because many people don't get another chance. Their heart is too hardened. That's what happens. It's you. It's us who put ourselves in that state where God can't reach us, because our heart's hardened, our mind is blinded, and we don't care anymore. And that's what's wrong with the people out in the world that are lost. They don't care. That's why you can't get them to come to church. That's why they won't, people that do come, they won't be faithful. They just don't care about God or the things of God. They care about their own life and their own cares. God makes himself known. And you know the opportunity is available now. You know it. You know. I've sat in a pew knowing that now is the time. I remember the time in my life when it was now or never. You come to that point where you just realize it's almost like God just puts that in you. You now or never. Make your choice. Well, I'm thankful forevermore that I said yes. Changed my life forever. Never been the same since that moment. Didn't know nothing hardly. Didn't understand anything about God, about the Bible. Didn't understand much about nothing. You don't have to. It's a matter of a heart that yields to the authority and sovereignty of God as best it can in its blind state. But like Charles Wesley wrote, you know, that light, how does the song say? His chains fell off. Remember what love? He said, a ray of light, quickening ray. My chains fell off. That's how it happens. See, the Calvinists way over yonder on this, and the other people way on the other side of it. But this is just the way it happens. Now, if they tell you never search for God, they're going to lead a lot of people to hell. And if I tell you that you got to search for God and that's how you find Him, then I'm going to send a lot of people in the wrong direction because they're going to start searching and thinking that they're going to be able to do it on their own. But here's how it is. You better start searching for God while He can be found, when He can be found. And you'll find that God will find you. Jesus said that He and the Father would come unto us. He said, I will come unto you. You come unto me, I'll come unto you. We'll make our abode with you, in you. Draw nigh to God. That's the plea from heaven. That's the plea every preacher ought to be telling the people. Draw nigh to God. And He'll draw nigh to you. If God makes Himself known and you know the opportunity is available and you refuse it, surely such a person is worthy of hell. And all the universe will be in agreement with God when they're cast into the lake of fire to great white throne judgment. Can you imagine getting that close? We talk about Judas. He kissed the door to heaven and went straight to hell. So close. That young man came to Jesus and said, "What, Master, what could I do to inherit eternal life?" Remember what Jesus said to him when he said all that stuff? He said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Not far. You're not in, but you're close. Seek some more, son. Strive to enter in. Don't leave it here. Don't just come this close and walk away. If a man won't ask, then he deserves to go to hell. Wouldn't you think? Being a sinner, being what we are before we meet God and before we're saved, and if we won't even ask after all He's done, and we won't even ask Him to save us, to come unto us, we turn away from Him. How could you think we wouldn't deserve hell? God does not require anything of us that is impossible for us to comply with. He only requires that you call upon Him while He's near. You got to seek the Lord. You got to turn from your wicked way and all of that. But then you got to come to the point where you realize that all of that is not going to save you. All of that is not sufficient to reconcile you to God and obtain forgiveness of your sin. You got to realize that I don't have a thing, nothing in my hands I bring. Only to Thy cross I cling. You got to realize. I've seen so many people, they stumble there because they keep trying to seek and to do something, and they're in the presence of God. This is it. Just yield to God. Just lay it down. Realize that you can't do anything except trust in what He's done. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. I've quoted this verse a time or two tonight already, but it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Four times in the Bible that those words are spoken. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So, you better not miss the opportunity. We sing these songs about ship ahoy, you know. I cried out in fear. And the good captain ordered a boat to be lowered. And with tender compassion, he brought me on board. See? But if you didn't cry out, and if you let the boat sail by you and watch it go away, because you're too stubborn to cry out, and too proud to ask for help, it'll sail without you. People say, you know, they just mix it all up. Story about the guy in the water again, drowning. Boat come by, throwed him a rope. He got a hold of the rope, and they pulled him on board. Some people said, well, the rope saved him. Somebody else said, no, the man on the boat to pull the rope, that's what saved him. No, what saved him was when he hollered out for help. It all. I mean, he could holler all night. If ain't no rope, he ain't going to get on the boat. If the boat's there and there's somebody on the boat and there ain't no rope, he's still going to drown. It takes it all. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And he'll throw a rope to you. And then you better get a hold of that rope. And he'll pull you on board. It's really pretty wonderful and pretty simple. And if we wasn't so stubborn, there'd be a lot more people going to heaven than what are. A lot more people be living a good life with God's blessing and God's guidance than what are. Amen. Well, stand with me. How many of you remember when the ship sailed by and you cried out and he brought you on board? Don't risk thinking that you're going to have another opportunity. And you'll just wait. Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix, well, I'll call for you at a convenient time. He said, I want to hear some more about this, but not today. What they were saying is, I hear you and I hear God's voice. But Felix trembled as he reasoned of righteousness and judgment. But he said, not now. I'm going to, but not right now. Agrippa said that same thing. Don't work that way. They missed the boat.
Sure did.
Don't think and don't trust in that false hope. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the warning from the Word of God. Thank you that Isaiah penned these words years and many centuries ago. And it's still so very true. Thank you, Lord, for calling. Thank you for those who answer that call. Help those, Lord, who are stubborn, who are proud. And Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy on their soul and call again. The word of the Lord did come the second time unto Jonah. You are so merciful. It would be, you'd be completely just to never call us. To call us one time would be more than we deserve in our lifetime. But to call us several times when our heart grows harder and harder. What a merciful God you are. Please help us, Lord, to help others to understand. Help the young people. Help our loved ones that are lost to understand these truths. And help us to be faithful to live them in Jesus' name. Amen.